This evening, I would like you to consider two texts that tie the dark waiting period of Advent together with the bright morning star of Christmas. We've heard the text from Matthew, chapter 1, the angel appearing to Joseph. I'd also like you to consider God's word spoken by Isaiah the prophet in chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted." If you are a young man of Israel, and your name is Joseph, and you start having dreams that seem to contain messages, because they do, it would be wise for you to wake up in a cold sweat and shiver and shake at the prospect of what's coming next. All his life, Joseph of Nazareth had heard the story of that ancient boy, his namesake, whose father loved him more than he loved all of his brothers. That their father played favorites amongst the boys didn't go unnoticed either. When Dad gave out coats, he was the one who got the brightly colored one. And when this ancient boy had dreams, he was the one his brothers would bow down to. Well, he made a mistake of telling his brothers about his dreams. A mistake indeed, for they were very jealous, and the next thing this boy knew, he was thrown into a well, sold to a wandering tribe of Midianite traders, and taken on an unexpected journey to Egypt. Only this was no cultural exchange trip for the boy, and it was certainly no vacation. His name was Joseph, favorite son of Jacob. This first Joseph would see his brothers and his father again, but not for a very long time. 13 chapters later, and God knows how many years, at the end of the story, after almost everyone had been back and forth to Egypt a few times and had had their lives bought and sold in one way or another, Joseph told his brothers, "Do not fear. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be alive as they are today." Had Joseph, the one betrothed to Mary, thought of all these things when he woke up from his dream, he might well have just packed his bags for Egypt right then and there. At that point in his life, he should have known that his life would no longer be his own. His fiance was pregnant. He didn't know exactly how, other than that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to change his life. And that was only the beginning. Links to the ancient dreaming Joseph aren't the only ones that reach back into Israel's past that Matthew would have us ponder tonight. There's also that Isaiah text the evangelist points us to about the virgin bearing a son and calling his name Emmanuel. Those words also addressed another man suffering an acute cold sweat. His name was Ahaz, king of Judah. He woke up one morning back in the 8th century BC to find himself and his people in a terrible situation. The brutal Assyrians were poised on the doorstep of his kingdom, ready to strike. Judah's army was in no way a match for their awesome strength. As he evaluated the situation, he thought that his only hope would be to make alliances with neighboring nations who were most of the time his enemies. Well, sleeping with the enemy is a dangerous thing to do. But then Ahaz was a desperate man, a man grasping for any kind of hope and not being what you would call a good Jewish king. He used the only wisdom he knew, his own. He already made the greatest sacrifice a king and a father could imagine in the hopes that it would bring his people security and no doubt keep him in power. The scriptures tell us how Ahaz had made his own son pass through fire. In other words, he'd offered his son up on a burning altar to the gods of the nations around him in hopes that that horrific sacrifice would move the gods to hear his plea, respond in kind, and save his people. But the Assyrians had not gone away. So what else could Ahaz do? He'd played his best hand. Now what? And as he fretted, a curiously strange man by the name of Isaiah came to him and said, "Do nothing. Sit tight. And if you won't ask for a sign that this is the wisest course of inaction, God will give you one. A child shall be born to your house, and before he's moved on from baby food to chewing tougher stuff, your enemy will vanish. And the child's name shall be Emmanuel, God with us." That's your only hope, Ahaz? God with us. And that's exactly what happened. Have you lived your life by the script of some dream that you dreamed up for yourself? A dream like Joseph once had, a dream of a life of sugar plum fairies and coats of many colors, a good education, great health, a compliant little family, a spouse with 2.3 perfect little children, a decent job, a good house, peace and justice, only to wake up one day and find yourself imprisoned in some far-off land you never dreamed for yourself. Like ancient Joseph, imprisoned in a jail of debt, the slammer of addiction, locked up in the fear of, oh, so many different things, barely hanging on to life itself, detained by greed, chained by bad health, behind the bars of anger and disappointment from which you cannot free yourself, a jailhouse of lies that started with a little tiny twist of the truth, a prison of loneliness you never, ever dreamed you'd know. And like ancient Ahaz, what have you sacrificed to the bloodthirsty gods around you in hopes of waking up from that horrible dream some morning to find your enemies gone? Who have you made secret alliances with? What have you given in to? What goodness have you given up? What blessed thing have you put to death in order to make your wishes come true? What standards have you lowered? What sacrifices have you made in hopes that the gods of this world would bless you? Only to discover that whatever the gods are, they pay no attention to you at all. Though at first, it's like they promise to meet your every desire. Those are some of the questions we ask as this dark waiting period of Advent comes to a close right before the bright morning star of Christmas rises in the east. And if those questions hit a little bit too close to home because you know you've made alliances with things other than the true God, and you've given up on His words and given into the ways of the dark world around you, if that hits a little bit too close to home and you say, I'm just going to ignore it, because after all, tomorrow morning the sun will rise in the east and it'll be Christmas morning and the light will have come and the bad dreams will have evaporated like the mist. Well, remember this too. You can't get away from the questions. And you can't ignore the truth so easily, because if we had continued that second reading from the Gospel of Matthew, we'd run smack dab into Herod, that wicked Darth Vader of the Bible, and we'd see that the dark side lives on, even after Christmas. Joseph will have to flee himself and his little family to Egypt with all of Israel wrapped up in the Christ child with him. So, what shall we do in the darkness? And is there even an answer to the darkness that envelops us? This darkness that, well, is us. For you well know what kind of darkness lurks deep down inside of you. What shall we do in the darkness? The darkness of this night? The darkness of what's become of our lives? The dark secrets that condemn us and threaten to expose us even this holy Christmas Eve? The darkness that engulfs us when we sit and ponder the things that go on in this world? This dark world that's getting darker every day we wake up. A darkness that we manage to cover, but only with the thinnest veneer of phony brightness. In the darkness of our lives, the darkness that's there because of sin, in the darkness of this sinful, dark, and dying world, what should we do? What can we do? Well, truth be told, there's nothing we can do, because this darkness is us. And so the answer can't be inside of us. But there is something God's done. He sent His Son, the Redeemer, the Savior, the light of the world, the light no darkness can extinguish, not even the darkness inside of us. If tonight, ancient Joseph's story of dreams gone bad is your story, and if tonight, ancient Ahaz's tragic story is your story, and I suspect it is, at least in part or whole, because it's my story too, then the Christmas gospel has something to say to you. It speaks to you in the darkness where you find yourself. Emmanuel, God with us, has come for you. And He comes knowing firsthand all the darkness that you and I know. He knew the pain of that earlier Joseph all too well as he cowered in the pit. God knew the day was coming when our Emmanuel would find himself sold out by his brothers, and that's us, and handed over to brutal men who didn't care a lick about him as they nailed him to the cross. God knew what wicked King Ahaz had gone through, dreadful as it was, because it was our Emmanuel who was handed over, and indeed handed himself over to death on the cross, so that God's people might be saved from their enemies, from sin and death and Satan itself, himself. Only this time, it worked. And if you listen to any of the old prophets, you'd hear how God knows all too well the plight of despondent Joseph, betrothed to Mary, whose dreams, like yours, lay shattered with the wood shavings on the floor of his workshop when he finds his fiancée pregnant. God had dreams for this world and for you too. and they include nothing of the darkness that you know. And so he comes into our darkness. His name is Jesus, this Emmanuel child, for he will save his people from their sins. And his promise is that he makes a place for you right here in the darkness under the shadow of his wings. And hid, safe with Christ and God, the darkness of your life and the darkness of this world shall not have you, shall not keep you, shall not freeze you, nor kill you for eternity. Tonight, this Christmas night, he comes to you regardless of who you are or what darkness you are wrestling with. He comes to you even though you've sold him off into bondage, and wonder of wonder, he goes to prepare a place for you. He comes to you even when you won't trust him, as you cower with Ahaz before your enemies. He comes to you when all your dreams lay sliced to ribbons on the floor of life. He knows those places well. And he's not afraid to come to you even there. He comes to you each day as you are born anew in the waters of holy baptism. He comes sticking his words of forgiveness into your ears as you hear his word proclaimed to you. He comes in and under bread and wine, Emmanuel, God with us. He promises. And knowing that he is with us, we can sleep well in the long nights of darkness that come before the night, before the light returns. Emmanuel, God with us, waits and watches with us and watches over us. We are never alone. You are never alone. Ever. Emmanuel promises to be with you to the close of the age and beyond. And for that we can say, Merry Christmas. In the name of Jesus, amen.